Thanks for coming back for the second part of our mental hospital asylum historiography, pictography that we're doing today, or this time around. Once again, thanks to our listener for requesting this. And I'll go ahead and hand the reins over to Anthony so he can give you like a short little synopsis of what he talked about to the first episode. Take it away, Ant.
So, in the recap of what we had said in the previous one, just to give you a little refresher, basically we talked about the history, the mental institutions, experiments that went on, the living conditions of the patients, as some of the more, I guess, how do you say that word? I guess I'm going with just
the
real detail. Yeah, I guess the details of how, you know, what they were going through in those times. So, and now we're going to go into the hauntings and lore that goes between the mental institutions, because I am really not one to want to go to an abandoned mental asylum, because that kind of just freaks me out. So let's go, Panda. Let's knock it out.
Alrighty. So the way I did my research, I looked up mental hospital or asylum hauntings and or lore, and so it just gave me a list of roughly the hospitals I had, stuff that bumps in the night, stuff that we could talk about. So I'm not gonna go completely in depth into like all these different cases.
Boo.
I'm just gonna go into, I guess, like the main one or second. Bro, do you want to make this 3 hours long?
I don't care.
So the first one, I believe you say it's called Old Thule Hospital in Utah. So this hospital opened up in 1897. And the hospital didn't start as a hospital. It actually started as a family house. And then in 1913, it was transformed into what is known as the Country Poorhouse, where the elderly and those who had special needs were taken care of. And then by 1953... the building was changed once again into the Old Thule Hospital, which featured improved accommodations for patients. They added benefit of individual bathrooms and a dedicated morgue on the premises. So before it was closed down in 2001, so basically 18 years ago, if you're listening to this in 2019, the hospital made its name by being the filming spot for Stephen King's The Stand, a movie from 1994.
The Stand?
The Stand.
Stand.
Huh. Over the years, Old Thule Hospital has been the site for... Yeah, it's been a site for multiple hauntings and various reports of paranormal activity. One of them is an Alzheimer's patient who people call and know him by Wes. Is said to haunt the hospital, and his favorite spot to go to is the room that he, you know, was living in when he was alive. So, I mean, I guess as far as like specter goes, a ghost goes, I didn't find him like playing pranks or doing anything like the Casper's Uncles would do.
Uh-huh.
That's Casper's an old movie.
Damn, old
but,
school.
Yeah. I mean, it's still kind of sad. I guess this hospital was a big part of his life, yeah, to where he reminisces there, still goes there, and he hangs around his old room.
Part of the lore, right, is that like whenever like ghosts like don't leave or cannot leave or peacefully past the next world, they end up hanging out in the only area or world that they're known to be,
right,
or known of, like attached to it somehow.
Yeah.
Restrained to it somehow.
So many other ghost characters have been sighted in the hospital, including a young child and the owner of the house, the original owner, Samuel F. Lee, who is the man who originally built the house for him and his family in 1897. One of the most chilling reports at the hospital is that the sound of a child's voice uttering the words, "Daddy, shot, sorry." You know, this is creepy enough on its own.
Daddy shot sorry?
Daddy shot sorry.
Wow.
So,
is like
just...
Sorry
just,
as in, like, the word sorry, like, apologizing sorry, or sorry as in, like, somebody's name?
I'll get there.
Oh, okay. Oh man.
So, just those three words, you can pretty much run with it and make your own scary movie. But, you know, that's creepy in its own way. But... it's alarming whenever the Utah Ghost Organization, they actually went into trying to figure out why this was going on. And they claim that these words come from the ghost of a child who was accidentally shot by his father.
Wow.
So when I first read "Daddy Shot Sorry," I thought he shot his dad and that he was sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then furthering on the research, it's actually the other way around. His dad shot him.
Yeah.
So I guess his dad was like, I'm sorry.
Ugh. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think there's, for me, I don't know what it is, but more creepy to hear a kid either like laughing or like.
Dude, that's what I said on the last podcast, bro. I cannot.
I just think that's creepier to me than.
Don't give me. You know, ghost children with knives coming at me and all this. I mean, I know that's exaggerated, but I don't like to hear like that. Whole children in like in the movies where they hear the like the girl singing in the distance or something
yeah.
like that, or yeah, the little girl
like
singing.
The Freddy Krueger thing. Like,
yeah, yeah, like come out to play. Yeah. Or I don't know, even I think that's the Warriors come out to play.
It's the Freddy Krueger is like the 1, 2, Ready's coming.
Oh yeah, 1, 2,
3, 4, shut the door.
Yeah.
Shut the door, she yeah. put the way.
Alrighty, guys. So, stop number 2 in our little magical asylum trail is Alton Mental Hospital in Illinois. So, this hospital is still a functioning hospital to this day.
Wow.
It was built in the early 1900s, and this hospital is known for the harsh mistreatment of its patients, many of whom were subject to electroshock therapy, but we talked about that like before we started recording for a good 30-45 minutes. Lobotomies from our homie the mobile lobotomist
Freeman,
and cold water treatment,
yeah,
all of which were standard everyday practices at this hospital. Which is like going back to episode 1 where this is what worked at that point in time. So it only makes sense that they also did what at that point in time worked. Many people today, including staff, patients and visitors, have reported hearing unusual noises from doors randomly slamming shut to indecipherable whisperings. One of the creepiest reports comes from a nurse who was on duty and heard someone ask, "Who's that?" She turned around to respond and discovered that there was nobody behind her. And there was nobody in that building to make things worse at that time. So later that day, the exact same thing happened in the same place to another nurse.
Mm.
And keep in mind, this place was empty.
Right.
So, since this facility is still at a hospital today, tours are strictly forbidden because, you know, they still have patients in there. But people who have been to the hospital and taken pictures of it from, like, outside while visiting patients, because they're, I'm guessing for this one, I don't know for many hospitals, but they don't like having photography taken inside. So, I guess people who have family members there or
they
like want
to keep that privacy too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of people who've taken pictures like from outside say they or they've reported to catch images of orbs with like the pained face of a human male at the front. Mm-hmm. So, like, out of the front windows.
Yeah. You know. That's, like, one of the things I remember always hearing. Like, you see orbs, like, the little light, like, energy ball thingies. Or usually that's how you can tell there's, like, a spirit or something right there. That's, like, one of the things that commonly remember.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that a lot, too. Like, especially, like, being young, I always watched, like, Discovery Kids, and they always had, like, I think it was Saturday night, they had, like, this, like, little program where they had, like, creepy folklore, Jersey Devil, stuff like that, so. Yeah.
That's how you got into the whole lore haunting thing.
Yeah, that's how I quit my day job and became a full-time ghost.
Ghost hunter?
Yeah. So our next stop, I'm sure you guys have heard of this, Denver State Lunatic Asylum.
Mm, man, that's a good one.
In good old Massachusetts.
Not a good one, it's horrible.
Which apparently is the best, or one of the best places to get treated for mental hospitals. Massachusetts is one of the best ones, right?
Yeah.
Now it is, yeah, now it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so now.
Yeah, they have the highest funding.
So this place is often referred to today as the Witch's Castle on the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Denver State was built in 1878 on a site which was originally in Salem Village, the first actual location of the Salem witch trials in 1962. When it started out, Danvers was renowned for its modern treatments and superb patient care. But it wasn't long before the asylum fell victim to lack of funding, overstating and overpopulating, which caused it to deteriorate into something more akin to a concentration camp. Between 1940 and 1950, the facility housed more than 2,000 patients in a building which was designated to house only 600 people.
Yeah.
So
Going back to the whole overcrowding. I mean, that was the huge issue, was the overcrowding of people.
Not just the overcrowding of the people, but, like, going back to episode one, I have a horrible headache for weeks, or let's take you to, you know, the asylum.
Right.
Oh, hey, you're cheating on your husband with, like, 5 different guys. We might need to get you mentally checked out.
Boy, I don't know. Man, that's terrible.
So just stuff like that.
What's,
like,
that guy doing wrong?
Obviously a lot.
A lot.
Patients became haggard and ghostly, often left in complete isolation for days on end. Things were so bad that dead patients would go unnoticed for days, if not weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, like, the best of the best when they first came into town.
Yeah.
In 1992, Denver State Asylum was closed down, demolished, and renovated into the set of apartments it is today. Despite this haunted, insane asylum being torn down and reconstructed as a different property, bizarre activity and paranormal sightings is still abundant. Residents and visitors have recorded full-body apparitions, flickering lights, the sound of unexplained footsteps, and doors opening and closing on their own. Where you freaking go to sleep.
Yeah. The see, that's a whole thing I saw. That was a whole, like, a reoccurring issue. Well, not an issue, but that was a reoccurring thing, that when these mental hospitals shut down or they get demolished, whatever. They want to build, like, some apartment complexes on top of my, like, dude, you're doing like a Indian burial ground kind of thing. Like, you're building on top.
What was that movie, Poltergeist?
Pet Cemetery, maybe, too?
There's Poltergeist. It was, like, an angry ghost. Like,
but I thought Poltergeist, the first movie, was because they were, like...
I think I've seen Poltergeist.
I've never seen it, but I remember it was based off of, like, Ghost in the House. And
yeah, I thought it was because...
But it's, it makes everybody, like, aggressive and turn against each other and stuff like that, or... It's like a super aggressive ghost.
Yeah.
Spirit.
Poltergeist. I mean, yeah, that's the... The poltergeist is the one that's going to mess with you. It can become violent sometimes, so... If you got a poltergeist in your house, watch out, guys. Go ahead and get that exercise from
your house. Go ahead and slap that bitch on the market. Go ahead and move on out.
Burn the house down if you can.
Burn it with fire.
Kill it with fire.
Go get you an apartment at the old grounds of Danvers.
And pray for the best.
All right, so this next one. Byberry Mental Hospital in Pennsylvania. I hope I said that right. So this hospital first opened its doors to the public in 1907. When it started off as a working farm for the mentally ill, before it became a full-fledged mental hospital in the 1920s. As more and more people were admitted to the hospital, the population significantly expanded, which led to severe patient neglect and unbelievable levels of abuse. The lack of funds left the hospital in a state of despair, with patients being forced to survive with no clothing, insufficient food, and sewage-filled hallways for bedrooms. Padded cells, solitary confinement, regular beatings, electroshock treatment, restraining devices, and lobotomies were the norm. In 1990, state authorities closed down Byberry Mental Hospital after a thorough investigation revealed inhumane living conditions, yet its dark past continues on to this day. A myriad of horror stories surrounds this facility. After it closed, Byberry became inundated with vagrants, gangs, thieves, good old satanic cults, and former visitors seeking shelter. So, like, even people that used to be patients there, they're like, well, this is all I know. Let me come back here.
Yeah.
One mentally deranged and the brutally violent patient is said to reside in the miles of catacombs beneath the building, where he lies in and waits with a large knife, eager to slit the throats of curious explorers.
Wow.
Unlucky enough to cross his path. As well as this chilling legend, the hospital has also been the spot of several paranormal sounds and sightings, including human-like growling and physical scratches appearing on visitors' bodies. So that's kind of like a poltergeist like scenario.
You could be saying poltergeist to shit. You might actually can go and say demon too.
Demonic.
You could go into say mnemonic too.
I mean, well, especially for this place, man, as the living conditions say, I'll probably go more towards demonic. Like, beatings, who knows what other ungodly things went on in there. People not being fed. Pretty much walking around in their own excrement.
Yeah.
So, I mean, oh, and apparently they had satanic cults, you know, doing satanic stuff there. So,
yeah.
There you go. There goes the draw.
There it is right there.
Drawing out demonic spirits.
That's all you
like
needed.
Some kind of environment where it can survive, I guess.
Where it can thrive.
Thrive. I don't know. For some reason, I could deal with probably like if it's like if I knew it was like some kind of ghost, I could probably deal with that better than a kind of demon or something.
Well, a ghost is probably not gonna try and fuck with you, but a demon sure is gonna fuck with you.
Demon's trying to like you know hurt you, like possess somebody, just kind of like mentally fuck you up, and it's kind of like damn, that's I don't know. To me, I find that a little bit more of a threat than I do anything else.
Well, yeah, I would hope you would, because anybody's trying to...
I mean, of course, you could just kind of be like, oh, whatever, you know, walk away, or like, whatever,
hey,
you know?
It was, what's up, Bezabal? What are you eating today? What's for lunch today?
You know, like, for demons and stuff like that, you gotta get motherfucking Father, you know, whoever...
Father Mary,
somebody out there to help you fucking exercise.
You gotta start watching Supernatural. You gotta get your shotguns filled with salt.
Yeah, I've seen that. Shotguns filled with salt. You gotta get some iron rods.
You gotta get some iron rods.
Rock salt,
iron rods.
Yeah,
you gotta get some tattoos on your left pec or something like that, so the demons can't possess
you. You gotta start wearing a suit and tie.
You gotta roll around in an old school Impala.
You gotta fake FBI badge.
You got a fake FBI badge. You got to your best friend is a fallen angel, and we gotta have our dungeon, our lair. No, your best friend is Shia LaBeouf.
We gotta have our men of letters lair to go to every time we do something. Remember?
Oh yeah, he has. Yep, that's true. Yep.
Impenetrable fortress.
See, I didn't know you guys watched Supernatural.
I watched every single episode.
I felt like this.
I really fell asleep Like, I really started hating it after season 4.
What?
Yeah, I did.
I have yet to... I'm actually sad.
It's still going, bro.
It's still going.
They got another canceling after this next season.
No, they're not. Yeah, no, they're I promise you they
are. If you've ever... The last episode called Mariah, they are ending it. God has pretty much flipped the switch, and he's like, this is the end.
Well, I haven't got that far. I got as far as to, the Leviathan season.
Oh, really? Damn, you're way behind this. A lot of stuff happens after that.
Oh, no. You are behind, man.
It's because...
What season is that? 12?
That's like, eight? No, that's like eight. Yeah, there's 14 seasons so far, but that's like eight or whatever. Like, you're halfway there, but I'm telling you, man, boy.
I haven't watched it since me and my daughter's mom split. That's like an unholy thing I can't watch anymore. It doesn't feel the same.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude, I'm that kind of guy.
Okay, when you...
That was our show, bro.
When you make a bond with something...
I don't care. I'm still watching The Office and me and Diana split up. I don't know.
No, you're not.
Yes,
no, you're
I will.
Nah, but there's certain things, though, man.
God forbid. There's
certain things people find more sentimental to them. So, like, whenever you actually, like, are not part of that, it is not the same.
I've tried it, bro. I'll get, like, 5 minutes in.
Honestly, you could pick up from, like, season 12 and you'd get everything that's going on. Because they recap everything at the beginning pretty well.
Do they?
Yep. If you want.
All right, so that was my...
Little gee whiz.
My little rant of sadness. But let's go back on our train and... throw some coal into the fire and keep on chugging, guys. The next stop is Rolling Hills Asylum in good old New York City.
Rolling Hills. That already sounds like...
Sounds not appealing.
Yeah, because, you know, they always say the shit rolls downhill. You know, like, it's Rolling Hills. Yeah.
So, this asylum begins its life as the Genesee Country Poor Farm in 1827, a dumping ground for the outcasts of society. Here, orphans and widows lived alongside the severely mentally handicapped and the criminals, all of whom were known as inmates. There are more than 1,700 documented deaths, with hundreds more unclaimed bodies believed to be buried on site. In the 1950s, the poor farm was developed into the old country home and infirmary before it was transformed into a set of shops and later an antique mall. What are the reports in the real haunted asylum? One of the strangest occurrences took place in 2007 when the Rolling Hills case manager, I might butcher this name, Susie Yenser? Yenser? Was working on a public ghost hunt. The group was sat in a circle. Ah, come on. Why would you sit in a circle?
Yeah.
Easier to talk whenever you... Yeah, it's a roundhouse, round table conversations.
They were just trying to do that bottle cap challenge. The group sat in a circle in the basement. In the fucking basement, guys.
Of all places.
And as Susie began to speak... A motherfucking glow stick.
Glow stick.
The only form of light in the room began to sway back and forth. A rocking horse started to move to and fro.
Oh, hell no.
And several people saw a hand suddenly appear and reach for a ball.
Nope.
The second floor corridor on the east wing is commonly referred to as Shadow Hallway.
That'd be great.
There you go. Sets.
You gotta take a fucking walk down that hallway.
I'll wait for y'all outside. Due to the staggeringly high number of shadow figures sightings, which walk through walls and crawl across the floor. Nah, I'm out, bro.
Yeah.
Apparently they have a 7 foot tall patient ghost with a gigantism.
Yeah, gigantism.
That okay, was, there we go. Gigantism.
Oh, man, you missed an opportunity to use the word gargantuan.
Like the sub from...
Gargantuan?
Like the sub from Jimmy John's?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, there's this... Shout out Jimmy John's. It's awesome. Okay. I'm hungry, bro.
Shout out Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's is fucking good.
Hey, you know what?
No better Subway.
Oh sub, no! Here he goes.
Sub out here, Firehouse.
So back on topic.
I was hoping you were gonna say that because that would have been the only place that I would have been like, "Nah, you're full of shit." If you're not saying Firehouse subs, you're full of shit.
Firehouse subs.
Firefighters are good for something. making a goddamn sound.
Oh no! Shots fired!
Pew pew pew!
Yeah. So a 7 foot tall patient with what was the word?
Gigantism usually happens when you have like either a tumor in your brain that controls that part of your growing hormone or whatever, and it pushes up on it, so it secretes like way more of that hormone, so that's why you fucking like the big show had that.
So he's commonly known to be spotted in his room, so just like our other ghost that we had where
you have the ghost of Big Show trying to fucking choke slam you through the fucking...
I don't think it's Big Show. It might be Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant fucking trying to slam you through a fucking wall.
Hell no.
Yeah, Yao Ming's ghost trying to dunk on you and shit.
Trying to break your ankles.
Leave Ming alone! Oh, no, I did a pun. I don't even know. Leave Ming alone.
Come on, man. The next one that I looked into was Athens Lunatic Asylum in Ohio. The Athens Lunatic Asylum.
Can I point something out real quick?
Yeah,
sure.
You ever notice that every single one of these asylums are hospitals and shit that are fucking haunted?
Well,
they're
also
all in the fucking Northeast. Like, and it's like, I mean, I get, you know, the 13 original colonies or whatever, the oldest fucking cities and the fucking oldest states in the nation and stuff like that, but all these things are, like, up northeast. There's never nothing southwest. They're like, it's like Lewis and Clark say, we ain't bringing this bullshit with us. We're going to leave all that shit. We
don't put that evil on
no,
me.
No, we ain't put no evil on the west side of this fucking country. It's all going to stay up northeast.
Oh, man.
Anyways, that's just
that was a pretty good little side note, I think.
Yeah. Who'd for thought?
Someone's trigger someone.
Y'all heard that, right?
Did y'all hear that? Yeah. Y'all gotta get on with this shit. Did y'all hear that? Yeah, I heard. Yeah, y'all didn't quit that out. Hey, bully? Is he okay?
He's good. That wasn't him. I was hoping it would be him doing that. I was like, oh, it's just a dog. The dog had the sixth senses, so they can sense. So he's still sleeping, so we're good. Now, real talk though, your house ain't haunted, is it? I don't want to know. You better not fucking say that right now. You have to talk about that when I leave.
Would you rather sit here stewing about whether or not it is haunted or know for a fact it is and like start getting your salt out ready and shit like that? Like,
get your rock salt out
already. Well, not just that, but like the podcast that we listen to, the dude, I don't remember what the podcast is.
So
Grave Encounters. No, Grave Encounters. That's a movie. God damn it.
Graveyard Tales. That was scary, bro.
Grave Encounters.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get into
the
that later.
Graveyard Tales. Okay. Yeah. I heard y'all talking about that podcast.
So Graveyard Tales. One of the they recorded the guy's studio.
Yeah.
And he has a friend ghost, basically.
Yeah. So on their initial podcast, he goes into saying that he actually does have a ghost in his house, and he'll say that notice some things about...
He'll move shit around.
Don't move stuff around. No, you know, nothing that's going to be really annoying.
No poltergeist level
shit. No poltergeist. No, nothing like
that's threat, still not cool, though.
Threat level. So...
That's still not cool.
But ever since... the thing is that since he started doing the podcast, and he started talking about, like, all of these...
Like the activity and
stuff. Activity and all this, like, occultist stuff. Like yeah. The activity kind of upped the ante. But there is a phrase that he goes
out like
that.
Well,
I'm about to be for real famous.
He's
and
like,
I'm gonna start making some more crazier shit happen. So they talk about me.
Yeah, where's my cut in the podcast?
The ghost said, "Hold my beer."
Where's my Hello Fresh cut at?
The ghost said, "Hold my beer." So I see this shit going on. I see a pack of cigarettes pop up out of nowhere. He said, "Hold my beer."
Hey, Bigfoot, you want in on this too? Shit, come on now. Anyways, no, but the quote was, "If you go searching for the unknown, the unknown eventually finds you." So, you don't go searching for it, it'll find you. But, that's a little side note.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's one of those, you don't fuck with me, I won't fuck with you type things. I can
pretty
respect
much.
That.
Yeah. I'm not provoking anything,
respect
guys.
For that. I tried to poke a ghost or anything like that, or a demonic spirit or anything like that.
Yeah. Where's fucking Bill Murray? I mean, you need him.
Alrighty. So, the Athens Lunatic Asylum, it opened up in 1874, specializing in the treatment of mentally and criminally insane patients who were admitted by the court or their own families. The facility originally started out as a calm and pleasant place where patients could relax and get better. But before long, it became an overcrowded institution which relied on the cruel practices of electroshock therapies, ice water baths, and ice pick lobotomies. So our homeboy, the mobile lobotomist,
he's a pioneer.
Bro, he was making bank.
He was making bank, man. He actually, I think I said in the last one that he actually traveled to 23 states and performed all of these lobotomies and stuff and whatnot. I'm not surprised that the people that he trained, they went on their own way to go train other people in other states, you know, so crazy.
He's like the lobotomy rock star or something.
Yeah, he was the Motley Crue back
in
the day.
He's been ice picking people's eye sockets and popping pillies. He's like a rock star.
Let me find my place. Alrighty, cool. The story of Margaret Schillings takes place.
I think it's Schillings. I've heard
Schillings?
Yeah, I've heard that name. I think it's Schillings.
Okay. The story of Margaret Schillings takes place in December 1978. And it's just as chilling then as it is today. On a winter day, Margaret, a patient at the Athens Lunatic Asylum, was playing hide and seek with the nurses, who got distracted and forgot about her. Oh.
Wow.
She was the kid nobody wanted to play with. I'm like, yeah, we're going to play hide and seek. You go hide. We'll find you. Damn.
I forgot I read this.
I knew the name sounded familiar.
Yeah, like, I forgot I read this, like, 4 days earlier.
And now I'm
getting that same sinking feeling that I had it when I first typed it up.
All right, we probably gonna, like, switch. Okay, next one.
we're already like halfway through these notes. In January 1979, her body was discovered by a maintenance worker. Today, an imprint of her body, clothes, and hair are still clearly visible on the floor.
Wow.
What the fuck?
Even after decades of cleaning, patients who died without any family have buried anonymously at the asylum burial site, which is reported to be haunted today, obviously. Instead of names, these gravestones display that's fucked up, bro. So instead of names for the people who just died there, their tombstone just has a number, like number 33 that died, number 58 that died. A practice which has resulted in a mass of unknown and unrecorded graves. Those who have been brave enough to explore the cemetery have reported a huge number of ghost sightings and unexplained screamings in the dead of night. Alright, so for the next one, we're going to the
Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
That's how you say it.
West Virginia.
Trans-Allegheny. Take me home.
Almost heaven.
Trans-Allegheny? Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Country road. Continue.
Take me home. Constructed between 1858 and 1881, the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum is up there with the scariest asylums in the world. It is also the second largest in the world, originally designed to house up to 250 patients, before it reached its peak in the 1950s, where more than 2,400 people were crammed into the facility. As a result of bizarre experimental treatments and severe neglect, thousands of people died here over the years. The physical deterioration of the building, coupled with changes in the treatment of mental illness, resulted in the closure of the asylum in 1994. The reasons for being committed to the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Let's call it Trans.
Yeah, let's just call it. Let's call it TA.
Wait.
Let's call it TA.
TA.
So committed to the. Damn it, Daryl. Committed to the TA Lunatic Asylum were almost never ending and included trivial things, such as falling from a horse or laziness, to ridiculous matters such as imaginary female trouble or desertion by husband, up to serious cases including murder and PSTD. this broad spectrum resulted in all sorts of mismatched patients being cooped up together. So you had your killers with your headache people, you had your women beaters with orphan kids, all kind of that stuff.
Wow.
All with disastrous consequences. Two decades since the asylum closed, the staff who worked there claim that ghosts continue to roam the halls. The manager states that she once saw 40 doors suddenly slam shut simultaneously.
40 doors?
40 doors.
Damn.
That's a specific ass number.
Though. That is a specific number.
I mean, but if you're the manager, I'm sure you know. Yeah, I guess if you're looking down a corridor, yeah, you're like, all right, this corridor has
40 rooms here. In
the well, yeah, it's my cue to leave, guys. See you later, guys.
Yeah,
so she saw 40 doors slam simultaneously, while other visitors have witnessed a ghost boy standing in the corner of a room, as well as sightings, whispers of forgotten patients have also been reported. On top of unusual smells, the sound of squeaking gurneys and screams coming from the electroshock room. But yeah, man, that whole slamming of the doors is screams horror film.
Yeah. That's definitely my shift's over.
Right. Y'all don't need me no more. I'm clocking out, right?
Yeah, I got a couple hours sick time. I'm gonna take rest. See y'all later.
I got PTO, right?
Yeah, PTO, man. Yeah.
All right, so the last one that I'm gonna talk about is Waverly Hills.
Oh man,
Waverly, like California type. Where? Or no, hold on.
This is Beverly. In Colorado.
I think of Beverly Hills.
No, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Waverly Hills.
Yeah.
Oh, Colonel Sam's fucking.
Are you sure?
I hope so.
Right, Sanders, Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders Topic Grounds.
You gonna spot check it?
Kentucky. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Told you.
You're right. My bad, bro. My bad.
The Waverly Hills Sanatorium started out as Waverly School in the late 1800s, and it evolved into a hospital in 1908, designed to safely accommodate between 40 and 50 tuberculosis patients. As the disease developed into an epidemic, the hospital was expanded to support at least 400 patients and was considered to be one of the best facilities at the time. In 1961, the hospital was closed down following the discovery. Oh, hold on. Lost my place. Alright, I'm gonna start from here, guys. I'm sorry. The computer did something weird. So it was in 1908, it was designed to safely accommodate between 40 and 50 tuberculosis patients. As the disease developed into an epidemic, the hospital was expanded to support at least 400 patients and was considered to be one of the best facilities at the time. In 1961, the hospital was closed down following the discovery of a tuberculosis curing antibiotic. Today, Waverly Hills Sanatorium is known by many as the most spiritually active place in the world, with paranormal reports every single day. The terrifying reports surround the story of a nurse who hanged herself by a light bulb wire when she discovered she had become pregnant out of wedlock by the owner of the sanatorium.
Oh, wow.
Many unusual sightings have also been spotted in the area known as the Death Tunnel, where dead bodies were disposed of away from the eyes of the living. Various paranormal TV shows have spent time recording at Waverly Hills Sanatorium, including the cast of Most Haunted, one of whom had scratches inflicted upon their body during their visit. And I remember one of the podcast that I listened to did talk about for a while about where a crew member for Most Haunted did get attacked by a ghost when they were going through the dead body corridor.
How they get attacked? Like, what did they do?
They just got scratches.
Oh, okay. Push and shove. Yeah, on that dish, on the tunnel one that you're talking about, the dead bodies would be actually dropped, I guess, in a body chute or something like that. They just throw them in there and they drop them down into the tunnel area, and then they would just move the bodies so that the people who were there wouldn't see the bodies. the estimate about that, about how many actually people die there, it does range from 150, but they say potentially it went all the way up to 63,000 people who died there.
So 63,000?
63,000 people.
So 63 comma three zeros?
Yes.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
That's
yeah.
a lot of people.
At one place, so you can imagine that's a huge hotspot for some spiritual activity.
Yeah, for that many people, for that many people, the activity has to spike.
Yeah,
spike over everything else. And then this wasn't part of it, but like during at one point in time, Netflix had Grave Encounters, and I don't know how many people heard of it or were able to watch it while it was on there.
That's a show on Netflix?
No, it was a movie.
It's a movie.
It's okay. A movie. So Grave Encounters is basically a gang of people. They're gonna go out to this asylum and investigate it.
Right?
Yeah, it's like documentary kind of type thing. Like, when I first saw it, I thought it was like based on a true story, but then I looked into it and it wasn't. But this bitch was fucking scary.
Hell yeah, it was.
Like, I wish it would come back on Netflix just so I could rewatch it.
It was that good, huh?
This movie had so many fucking twists.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody's interested in watching it that listens to us, or if the guys are interested in watching it, but like,
I probably won't watch it.
I recommend it. Like,
I have a Fire Stick that would definitely find it.
Like, watch it, and next time we record, we could like talk about it for a little bit.
Alright.
But
I'm gonna watch how it ends on YouTube, so I know how it ends.
The ending isn't that bad.
He'll explain it to me, and then on that YouTube channel called How It Ends. Ending is explained. There you go. I'll just watch that.
So there's a part one.
Cuts out all the scary parts
and a part two.
There's part one and a two.
Part one and a two. And Grave Encounters 2. I recommend highly. If you're into these kind of things, if you're a big old wuss like Anthony that lifts heavy weight, then don't watch it.
I'm not really into it, but I'll watch an occasional movie. You know what is kind of weird is, I don't really care about ghosts and stuff like that. It's more like the demonic shit that gets me.
Right.
But for some reason, I think I've seen more movies about demonic possessions and like stuff that's based on true stories or whatever than actually have ghosts and stuff like that. So I'm like, damn.
So this place was shot at an actual asylum. It was filmed in Grave Encounters 1 and 2.
No, but which asylum?
Riverview Hospital in Coquitlam, British Columbia.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't cover that one.
No, because I think we kept it in the States. Isn't British Columbia Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Vancouver, man. You going to Lisa Lamb kind of area over there.
But I cannot rave enough. Go watch it if you have the means to.
Grave.
It's fucking amazing.
Grave Encounter is great.
We'll check it out. The research that I had done has been on one hospital.
So that's fine.
That's fine. Go ahead and do it.
Bring it home.
Bring it home, man.
I guess I'll wrap
bring
it up.
Bring it home.
And it was based off Fairfield Hills Hospital.
I think that was the one I skipped.
And again, it's in Newtown, Connecticut. Like I said, like every single one of these
it's
fucking hospitals are all like Northeast Manhattan.
It's a conspiracy.
Nah, it ain't no conspiracy.
Think about it. Like every freaking hospital
up
there.
Well, yeah,
because
a lot of these were
there. Even like Stephen King and all the movies that are especially Stephen King. All his stuff's always in Maine.
Not The Shining, because he actually did that one based upon the Stanley Hotel in Colorado. So, boom!
Yeah, that's true.
Fact, though, the actual Shining, it wasn't actually shot in that actual hotel. It was in another hotel because I think Stephen said that that hotel really didn't resonate with what he portrayed the movie as.
Yeah.
But he did get the idea from The Shining by staying in the Stanley Hotel, so...
Crazy. Yeah, I would have thought most of the stuff he's ever written has been in Maine, but the Fairfield Hills Hospital, same thing, it was a psychiatric hospital in Newtown, Connecticut. It operated from 1931 to 1995, so about 64 years. And again, at its peak, it had 4,000 patients. So,
guys, we hit 1K.
Oh, okay, what wow!
Yay!
Yes!
Cue a loud applause sound effect.
Cue a loud applause. Yeah, exactly.
Guys, we hit 1K.
We hit 1,000.
We hit 1,000 in the middle of this podcast.
1,000 listeners, baby.
Back to Chris. Back to Chris.
Back to Chris. Or back to me. I'm like, back to Chris. That's me. And so anyways, yeah, the hospital itself, it still stands. It's still there. It's southeast in the center of Newton, but like Newtown. I want to say Newton, but it's Newtown. From what I remember doing some of this research, so this is probably one of the biggest hospitals they had in Connecticut. They built it out of necessity. It was overcrowding just like in any other facilities. They had two other state hospitals, and they built this one to kind of alleviate some of it. And it kind of, I don't know if a lot of these guys have the same like infrastructure or design or designee or designer or whatever, but mm-hmm. like the Waverly Hills thing, hospital, this one has had underground tunnels. Mm-hmm. It had the chutes and stuff like that. They transport people underground to separate buildings of the same, because it was a 700-acre hospital. So like you had different buildings all separate. It spread out.
Huge.
It was huge and it was stiggly. And it was more like it was kind of also designed more like a jail than it was actually like a hospital too. Mm-hmm. But not really many regulations. Like there's a lot of people that, you know, everybody was pretty much amongst each other.
Yeah.
But I guess the one thing they did think about whenever they would actually move people from building to building was the tunnels. So there were also Middle Chapel shit before that even happened. I bet that's where they got the idea from. El Chapo's like, man, these motherfucking crazy people are onto something. We need to get built tunnels. Anyways, so it was designed.
Why go over when you can go under?
The biggest proponent for this hospital being built was that Walter Medford doctor guy. He was the one that pushed it down for, because they didn't, you know, people that live in, I mean, I don't know about you, man, but like, I don't know if I lived in an area that's like so close to a hospital. Yeah, I know it's a good, but it has that stigma. You know what I mean? You're kind of like, man, but it's kind of hypocritical at the same time. It's like, you know, I want people to have these help, but I don't want it to be near me. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
I don't know. But anyways, so yeah, 4,000 people at its highest, so definitely overcrowded for like that time frame. But they that there was a movie called Sleepers that was filmed, and I've never seen it, but apparently a movie Sleepers was filmed on that. In that hospital, and then a show. You remember MTV's Fear?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the hospital.
But they
called it St. Agnes.
St. Agnes.
Agnes. But that episode was. But it was
crazy.
Fairfield Hills Hospital.
MTV was able to get like rights to shoot there.
Yeah. They gave them rights. They're the last people that actually did it. Ghost Hunters was trying to do it recently, but they denied them because they've already, I guess they don't want, because ever since MTV's Fear has built. Like the fan base or whatever for that hospital, they don't. I guess Ghost Hunters is probably bigger than that's probably the biggest show I've ever heard of. Yeah. Like, still does that shit, but the town of Newtown decided to turn them down for any filming on it. But they have a 24-hour security guards and also police that, you know,
so
patrol
they
that area.
They don't want
the bad publicity of it. But I mean, there's never been a specific like. Urban legend or myth or ghost, traditional ghost story that's come out of it, but like the same thing that people have seen in other hospitals, like obviously, you know, the patients that mysteriously die there. There's been stories of like specifically, I think one kid that walks around in like a white suit. Mm-hmm. That always, like, you know, you'll see like people that drive by, they'll see you staring out of the window and stuff like that. And so I think that freaks me out the most out of anything. It's like you look through a window, you're just passing by, and then you look back again, and they're like in another room, like right off the back, like, damn, like, that would freak me out, but that was the biggest, they had just, you know, like I said, a lot of the stories that they've had have been through, like, employees, and through, like, patients and stuff like that have died there, and still haunt the same buildings, but like, just like with any of the others, like, I guess the Waverly Hills one that tied in. The same people that lived there, died there, haunt the same places.
Right.
This one, I think it's pretty much built a lot of the fame based off of that show on MTV that got it.
Yeah. But it was a really good show, by the way.
Yeah. But the same thing. It seems like, I don't know, you said that they weren't really regulated or something back then, like a lot of these hospitals weren't. Or I don't know if they are, but it seems like the same thing, because they had the same treatments like hydrotherapy, which is the that's the, I think you mentioned it earlier, but it's like pretty much they would take people with mental illnesses, I guess, and they'd soak them in ice baths.
So there was a couple ways that they use hydrotherapy. One, it could be as gentle as giving someone like a sponge bath or just any sort of like water treatment like that. But they also went as harsh as submerging people into ice water baths. I think they used to put planks on top of the bath so they wouldn't able to get out unless they had to go use the restroom. That's the only time they can go out, get out of the ice bath. But yeah, it grew into a not so a harmless thing, and then it just violently crashed into something like crazy. So pretty sad.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest. That's what really got me. I was like, okay, I didn't even think that was a thing back then.
Almost using waterboarding techniques too, like just putting the towel over your face and just, you know, pouring the water over. That was another thing that they used to do. So, man, water can flow or water can crash, bro.
It becomes, it goes in the bottle, becomes in
the bottle.
Shit. Yeah, but they would treat, and then apparently alcoholism was one of the things they treat there, which, I mean, I get, you know, alcoholism, I think, I don't know what you mean, this is a disease, but...
Alcoholism is a disease?
I think so. Like, serious alcoholism? I mean, because think about it, like, I don't know if you've ever heard stories and stuff like that, but I have. I've seen, like, documentaries of, like, people that will drink all their life, and the moment they stop, if they don't slowly build into, like, stopping, quitting, like, an actual, like, process of it, there's been people that have died from literally, like, not drinking just one day.
Oh, wow.
And then, like, straight up die because their body has become so addicted to having... Because, I mean, it's... Anything you introduce into your body, essentially, it's a chemical. It's just recognizing it as a chemical, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, if your body becomes so, like, so used to having that chemical in its body and it just fucking becomes all of a sudden denied that from it. Wow. But I didn't think alcoholism was... That was one of the first... I mean, as far as this hospital, that was one of the new things that I heard into it that I'd never been, like, I mean...
Yeah, I would not have associated that with mental health.
But, like, with all these other hospitals, too, Fairfield Hills also was another one of those where they, like, you know, over-diagnosis and stuff like that, and they pretty much, like, oh, you're an alcoholic, you gotta go to this hospital. So
right.
They would do that, and... But all the tunnels and stuff like that, they shut them down. Like, people apparently have tried to go down there and try to, like, you know, go through and film stuff through the tunnel. But, like, a lot of them, they welded shut, like, door, you know, put boards and stuff like that. But a lot of them have been just kind of, like, closed off. But, yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, now they have an actual, like, they're building, or I'm pretty sure right now they've already built it, but they have an ambulance facility built on there. They opened it in October of all fucking months.
Wow.
For some reason.
October.
Back in 2014. So they had an ambulance service running out of there. But yeah, for the most part, like, it was, a lot of it was like, a lot of the hauntings and stuff like that come out of that hospital have been, like, against the same, I feel like it's generic. I don't know why I guess it's, as far as, like, facilities goes, this one's had a lot of, like filming and stuff, like the movie Sleepers. MTV Spheres, and apparently they were gonna film that the Madman's Tale or whatever on here, and so yeah, they were gonna do that, but they stopped the production before they could do. But it's apparently a lot of like pop culture off of this hospital because of just like, I guess, just like with anything, it's older hospital. It's still there, looks creepy. You know what I mean? But there's been, you know, there's been sightings and stuff like that of like people that live there. That were treated there and actually worked there too, that have been seen there yelling and stuff like that.
Yeah. And some of the hauntings too, a lot of those places who film their movies and whatnot, some of the stories that came out from actual crew members have said that some of their shit gets, you know, messed up too. Their camera stops working or their batteries get drained, you know. So it's definitely not just... It doesn't necessarily just affect the people, but it'll affect your equipment too, apparently. So, I mean, you heard about when they filmed The Exorcist, how that guy, I think the guy died, right? He fell through the stairs?
Down the stairs? Yeah, went to the first one.
Yeah, I mean, you could have said an accident, could have said you were playing with something that...
Well, just like, I think one of the movies, The Crow, didn't the actor kill himself or he died or something?
No, The Crow? You're talking about like Brandon Lee's, like Jason, like Bruce Lee's kid?
Maybe you're one of the, I think it might not be The Crow.
probably not. The Crow is, it's that, like, the dude's, like, a local little rock musician or whatever. Yeah. He gets killed, and he comes back and takes vengeance on the guys who killed him and his wife or whatever.
Yeah.
That was Brandon Lee. That was Bruce Lee's kid. He got killed from, like, well, they say it was, like, a family curse. But, like, he got killed because, they used prop guns or whatever. But, like, what they do, they use rounds where they fire the primer off. So, like, essentially, whenever it's already been fired, if you strike that round, it'll just kind of... It's supposed to be, like, shooting blanks. It's just supposed to go pop or whatever. But apparently, one of the bullets was not fired off or was not... It was not taken out of... It wasn't, like, made to where it wouldn't fire off the round. So, essentially, and the odds of that shit happening on that very scene... You can actually see the scene on YouTube.
So, it was that movie. Yeah, yeah.
You can actually see the scene on YouTube where he's actually hit. They just, you know, they don't even put that in the movie. But, like, the scene where he's actually hit and actually you can see him actually whatever. But apparently, yeah, they fire off the round and the round actually shot the lead bullet. And the actual... Because... The whole bullet itself, it's a casing, gunpowder, primer that actually sets off the gunpowder, and then you have the actual bullet itself. Well, when it went off, that's what, you know, it actually killed him. It happened to be that one bullet that they didn't, you know,
wow.
Like, the, you know, make less, to, you know, make it less lethal or whatever, that ended up killing him. But that's what they say was, like, a big old family curse, because it's essentially, like, Bruce Lee died in, like, a weird, mysterious way that happened to Brandon Lee, and so.
Wow.
Yeah. Side note, if y'all want to catch a good TV show that was made off of the Lee Kim still, there's a show called The Warrior. Bruce Lee's daughter, actually.
Oh, really?
It's pretty good show.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah.
Shout out Bruce Lee, bro.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Really?
Was that out your head on that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of it's, like I said, it's a lot of the common stuff that you would find in most hospitals, but I think what stuck out to me on this one is just, like, for some reason, like, even though there's not a specific movie or anything, like, or movie, a specific story associated with this hospital,
mm-hmm.
like, for some reason, I guess they find this hospital really creepy and they want to film a lot in it.
Right.
And so, not really much. So they had an incendiary in it, I guess. They actually had a place where they were... Like, I guess maybe that wasn't made known too much to people, too, but apparently they have an incinerator.
Yeah.
On scene, or on location, I guess, or whatever. So, like, instead of, I guess, burying people, they just...
They cremate
them on location, which I don't know if many hospitals were allowed to do that, or have that, but they...
Maybe they were back then.
Maybe not mental health hospitals. Maybe regular, you know, hospitals probably had that, but, like, this mental hospital definitely had an incinerator on scene that would... dispose of bodies, I guess, if you want to call it.
Shit.
So that wasn't, I don't think that was something that was really well too known to a lot of people until recently.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn. That's crazy.
Imagine what else is not known. It's because
nobody
can go in.
All these hospitals, there's a reason why they get shut off and not reopened or reused for something. Because I'm like, facilities like that, you might not keep as an actual hospital, but you could reuse it for something else, I would think. But, there's literally some kind of committee that's over that hospital that does not allow for it to be reused. So there's got to be something up with that damn place.
Yeah, I mean, if it's that lock and key, there has to be something incriminating in there.
Yeah.
Damn. That's a conspiracy theory right there, boy. I didn't even think about that one.
Boy, if it's lock and key, there has to be...
There's a reason for it, yeah. You could say it's just their privacy, it's their, you know, their building or whatever, but...
Could you imagine all the lawsuits and stuff like that that people would probably try to draw out of if they had family members that were admitted to those hospitals back then? That's probably why they're so under lock and key.
Because
I'm like, why is... think about it. Like, why is there even such a thing as, like, abandoned asylums and, like...
I mean, because there was mistreatment in these places for sure.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, and why do they have security officers that monitor these hospitals all the time, 24/7, around the clock? I'm like,
to monitor an empty building.
Yeah, why? What are y'all so worried about? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Y'all definitely did some fucked up shit back then.
That's where the fucking aliens are at, bro.
Oh god, you spent like 15 minutes in the last seven.
I don't know. I think that's the fact that they've locked this one down so damn much that tripped me out.
Yeah,
you hear stories from these other ones still, you know, but this one. This one's like on some Area 51 shit because they literally have nothing. Like, they have close down that hospital and lock it down so damn tight that you can't even, there's nothing really about, I guarantee you, if there was enough people that could get access to that thing, they would see all kinds of fucked up shit. Yeah. But they have that one such on lockdown that, you know, that trips me up.
Damn.
I mean, all these places were government operated, mm-hmm. operated by the state or the country, whatever. So it's like you said, imagine how many, like, lawsuits they could get.
Yeah. Yeah. All kinds of, like, you know, inhumane treatments and stuff. Like, there's a lot of lawsuits that people can get nowadays just for anything, so.
Right. So, guys, that was the hauntings edition of this podcast. Now, what we're going to do right now is, since, you know, what we're going to do right now is we're going to go into where these hospitals are kind of at today. Like, we kind of touched base on the last episode where we talked about if things have actually progressed, if things have gotten, like, worse. I know we also said something about the lack of funding that goes into hospitals. Chris, you said something about there needs to be more funding. There needs to be more awareness about the mental health issues. And it's a huge topic, especially today. But as far as I can see, I do see a lot more good coming out of it. A lot more focused on creativity, you know, letting people, I guess, letting them be them instead of having to force them into confinements, you know.
Forcing the cures.
Forcing the cure. You know, they have art class. I was reading some of the stuff they have. They have art classes. They have group talks. They have, if you want to be by yourself, you know, you can be by yourself for a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. You can socialize with other people, you know, and not you know, not just like forcing you to do something that, you know, that we think is going to help you, but more like go at your own pace, you know. So
I think if there was a way to come up with some kind of process eruption, and there might be already a process like it, but if there was a way to categorize and do, you know, like levels and understand certain levels of how to assess people's mental illnesses on a case-by-case basis, and I think you could probably solve a lot of that too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of, like, a lot of hospitals that are the main hospitals that house permanently people with mental illnesses, I don't know if I'm sure they have a system, but I mean, I think if you did that on a more local mm-hmm. level, because there's a lot of hospitals that are only housed temporarily. There's a lot of hospitals that house permanently. There's not enough that have, like, a local, and then there's some that get shut down now. Like, there's a hospital. If you know anything about, like, the hospitals like that in the local areas, there's one that got shut down, and a lot of agencies used to take people there, and they were accused of all kinds of, like, sexual assaults and abuse of patients and stuff like that. And it's just like, damn. Yeah, I would have never thought it, you know, being in the hospital myself personally. Like, yeah. I would have never thought that happened there. They did have somebody break out once. Well, one of our other guys was there once.
Really?
Like, actively break out.
Oh, fuck.
They ran across 280. They ran across the highway. And they did a good distance and stuff before they were caught. But, yeah,
no,
I was out.
I was free.
But it was a lot like old Terminator 2 with Sarah Connor fucking... They said the alarm
bell
was
like, damn, yeah.
It was a full flares like Sarah Connor escape and stuff like that.
And
we'd call it Pescador Hospital. We'll call it that.
Well, Sarah Connor had a
T-1000.
Yep.
Homeboy didn't have none. Where's his T-1000?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had him waiting for him. That's what he thought.
Every Terminator needs to be created equal, man. I'm going to be the activist for it. So this is my petition.
But see, I think that kind of defeats the whole purpose of it. Because, like, Skynet became self-aware because of the advances within and of itself. You know what I mean? So I think if you were to try to say that every Terminator should be created equal, then that would kind of inhibit the idea behind Skynet. Sort of,
you're pretty much trying to put a cap on technology.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyways, you know who isn't trying to put a cap on technology?
Apple?
Elon Musk.
Well, I guess.
He's on some other stuff. He's on some extra stuff.
He's a fucking alien.
Did you hear about what he's doing now?
He's an alien.
Yeah, what is he doing now?
I think I might have heard what he's doing
now.
He's
working with this one company that's going to, like...
colonize Mars?
That was something that I heard.
He said he was in that shit too, bro. I think
he was on something about colonizing Mars.
Yeah, he said that too.
But so, like Anthony said, that Elon Musk said that AI is going to be the death of us.
Right.
So he's trying to prolong AI being the death of us by bringing humans to the same level as AI. So he's going to integrate, or wants to integrate, some sort of like mass computer in our heads.
That's not a good idea.
Is that RFID? Like RFID chips?
No. I can't remember what exactly the term for it is called.
That's not a good idea. Because you imagine, like, okay, first off,
Mandarin
Candidate. Are we straying away? I think we're straying away.
Go ahead.
I thought we were done.
We'll come back. We'll come back and finish it up.
I guess we can make this a separate topic before we start straying away.
Oh, yeah. We'll finish it off then. What else you got on the topic? It's past my bedtime, guys. I'm sorry.
Anyways. No, go ahead and continue with your topic, and then we'll come back. We'll come back full
circle. No, let's just finish it. I can talk about that later. I got to get my facts straight. The names and everything correct,
I guess. Well, yeah, just judging on where we're at today in the mental health, I definitely agree that we're a little bit better than what we are again, but I still feel that mental health is, you know, in its infancy still.
I don't think so, honestly.
Don't think so?
I don't think it's in its infancy.
Okay.
I think it's because our technology and our advances and understanding that is becoming more mainstream.
Okay.
Because the electroshock therapy thing was put out of the commission. Well, not really. It's just not used as often.
Yeah.
In the most severe cases nowadays, they still do. But it has to be severe. I'm talking about some severe stuff where you can't, you know, something where they're not able to fix like that, but, or help or cope with anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think mental illness is real. Mental illness is a serious topic that's not being addressed as much as it should be.
Right.
Mental illness comes in all kinds of form and fashion. Like, I think a lot of people dismiss a lot of conditions as just, you know, people being like babies, and stuff, quote unquote, or you're just being soft. We're like, anxiety? That's a mental illness.
Yeah. Death Anxiety, episode 4.
Anthony. Anxiety is real.
anxiety, and I used to, and before I even took my classes that I took, it's a 4-hour, before I did that, I dismissed a lot of it. Like, I thought, you know, there was a lot, you know, it's like, you know, but there's, I believe mental illness is coming in all form or shape or fashions. I believe that there should be also a very, like, strong emphasis on how to have people that can cope with those mental illnesses that are able to do so for themselves, because there are people that are way worse than you are.
Mm-hmm.
way worse off than you are, than as opposed to people that just have something like anxiety, a minor case of depression or something like that. Like, there should be more emphasis on building coping mechanisms for people that have those, and I think that's, you know, the awareness part of it is the bigger part.
I was one of those guys that, well, yeah, I mean, like we discussed in our, me and Panda discussing the Death Anxiety podcast, you know, I was, before I was kind of oblivious to the mental health thing, you know, I thought it was, thought some parts of it just, I didn't believe it, but just kind of looking into it and experiencing some of it myself, well, firsthand, whatever, it's definitely it's a real thing, and definitely needs to be held to a standard to where we can, are able to be comfortable with people who are dealing with these issues, who are, and not just like shoving them aside and saying like, here's a pill, you know, go help yourself or whatever like that. So definitely needs to be more addressed, and, you know, hopefully it will be soon, especially with the technology. I don't know about that whole microchip in your head though. That sounds a little crazy.
Sounds a little extra.
Yeah, too extra. Well, as always, guys, this is Your Average Podcast. This was the part 2 of part 2 of this episode.
2 of 2.
2 of 2. Two-piece breast.
That's an inside joke. Huh? As an inside, I don't think our listeners would get that.
Oh, you won't get that, guys.
Maybe we'll bring it up one day.
We'll bring it up one day, that two-piece breast something. Anyways, yeah, guys, like I said, join our Facebook group. Leave a message, leave some topics. Follow us on Instagram at Podcast Your Average, Twitter, Your Average Pod 1, Facebook, Your Average Podcast. Join the Facebook group, say hi, and communicate, guys. All right, guys, you guys stay safe out there. Deuce.
Cheers.
Good evening, or wherever you guys are at. Enjoy.